We are working in a very, very difficult circumstances. As you probably know, the International Crisis Group actually called the Central African Republic a phantom state. In other words, a state which exists only on paper. The truth is that the government of transition really is not backed by a civil society group, is not backed by political parties. It's just a government which has been put into place to monitor the transition. But they cannot do it without pacification. Most of the ministers are not going into the countryside to pacify the people. So that makes our work double difficult. We have no partnership to work with. For example, there are no police, there are no forces of law and order. That being said, we have a duty to carry out the mandate of the United Nations. We have come here to give our first report about the situation. There was a lot of killing and a lot of violations of international humanitarian rights from the 1st of January 2013 up to date, which is our mandate is continuing during this period. Both sides in the conflict, mainly the Antibalaka and the Seleka, committed a lot of killings and a lot of crimes against humanity and so forth. We are investigating this. We decided that because of the difficulties of going into the countryside, to start with Bangui. And we have progressed a lot, and we hope that in our final report, we'll be able to make a concrete proposal to the Security Council.
You were, before taking this presidency, deputy chief prosecutor for the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. Some people talk about the risk of genocide also in the Central African Republic.
Yes.
What kind of comparison can we make between Rwanda and the Central African Republic?
Two comparisons. The first comparison is Rwanda in 1959. You see, for the time being, a lot of the Muslims and the Fulani population in the Central African Republic are being driven out of the country. That gives you the vision of when many Tutsis were expelled out of Rwanda when the so-called revolution happened. The second is as of the genocide because of the civil war. The civil war really came about because of a coup d'etat, but it's in turn because of certain factors. Probably you know that the Seleka group who made the coup d'etat brought certain foreign fighters from Sudan and from Chad. And these foreign fighters turned to looting and killing population. Now, this turned the population of the South African Republic against the coup d'etat, against the government of Njatudia. And this now was exploited by certain indiscriminate politicians to create a situation where you now had Muslims or Fulanese against Christians. And this is what aggravated the situation. And so we have a situation where the beginning of the germs of genocide, like hate language is coming in, you know, all Muslims must die, all Muslims have to be killed or leave the country and things like that. So the hate language is coming in. But I think that with the timely intervention of the United Nations, we can stop that this genocide doesn't continue.
You were mentioning the interim report you are presenting these days. And you are mentioning also the final report. So when do you expect to present the final report and the conclusion, and what will be the next step?
Well, the final report will be presented in December. The next step, we hope that we are going to give recommendations to the Security Council to be able to create a mechanism for the trial of those people who would have been identified, because our mandate asks us to identify the perpetrators of the violations. We hope that we will be able to recommend to the Security Council to create a mechanism for that trial. This may be done in partnership with the ICC in The Hague, but it will be impossible to ship all the people whom we think should be tried for the crimes committed in the South African Republic to ship them off to The Hague. So maybe the Security Council will look at our recommendation and see that they might try to improve the justice system in Bangui so that it can deal with the lesser degree of violators, and maybe the leaders and some of the politicians who promoted this can be tried at The Hague.
How long do you think it will take?
I think that we should learn very, very fast from what happened in Rwanda and the ICTR in Rwanda. I think that we should make a mechanism which serves the people. In other words, justice delayed is justice denied. We should make sure that this justice is not delayed. We should make sure that we can put everything into place, get the courts going, get the appeal system going, and then within a couple of years, we should be able to say, okay, we have done the job.